Thanks everybody for tuning into the Shore Thing today. It is May 23rd. Warren and Ryan here with you as we have lots to talk about. Lots to talk about. PGA Championship, dramatic finish. So we'll talk about that. We have, I thought the Premier League final day, I don't know, probably not a lot of people were locked in, but the Premier League final day had a ton of drama. So we'll touch on that a little bit. We had, obviously, the Mavs are staring right in the face of a bunch of brooms. If they're still alive, maybe Swiffer dusters or Swiffer brooms, if that's your type of broom now, as they go down 3-0. Lots of stuff happened this weekend. Check us out Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and the iHeart Radio app under the podcast section. Ryan, how is it? How's it going?
Going good, man. Some nice weather this weekend. Wasn't too hot. You know, got down a little cool. I know you weren't too local for much of it, but off of baseball this weekend, so just got to spend some time with the family. Low-key, like a pretty good sports weekend, like you kind of hinted at. You know, we thought back a couple weeks ago with the Masters going on that was kind of the pinnacle, but, you know, I don't think this weekend was too far off of being a sneaky good sports weekend.
No, this was a good one. I agree. This was a good sports weekend. I think anytime you get a major, it's a good weekend, and then throw in second round of the NHL playoffs with the conference finals going in. I think it's going to be some good stuff out there. All right, let's get into the golf. We could start with the tournament, and then if you want, talk about what it was like at Southern Hills as I was there on a Friday and on Saturday. So Justin Thomas wins his second major, his second PGA championship, as in come from behind fashion, down 7 shots going into the round. The Data Golf, which is one of the, they have a predictive model up there. They also track like strokes gained. So you could say an analytics website gave him a 1.4% chance to win. Going into Sunday, birdie 17, has a good chance to get to 6 under on 18, just misses it about 10 feet, but he wins in a playoff over Will Zalatoris after Mito Pereira, who left one dead in the heart on 17. That's a tough one. Then just made a bad swing on 18, ended up in the water, and couldn't make bogey on there. And I would like to defend Mito. People are calling this like an all-time choke job, blah, 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 this and that. I mean, that hole is really, really hard for a closer. He made a bad swing with his driver. It looked terrible. Look, this, everything about it was horrible. He's made a bad swing. And that, I'm not going to say he blew it, but I'm not ready to say that that was like an all-time choke job there.
All time, no, but a choke job, yes.
He blew it for sure.
Yeah, no, 100%. And, you know, like you said, on 17, I mean, just one more half rotation and that ball sinks and he's, you know, good. He still wins it by one stroke, but he just leaves it right on the lip, like you said. And then, I don't know, I'm sure you heard, as he was walking to 18, there was a guy yelling at him, bomb the driver. And then a lady said something to the effect of like lay up or something like that. And he bombed the driver and it freaking, you know, it finds the water there. And from there on out, it was kind of, that was kind of the beginning of the end right there, right off the tee box. And you can just kind of tell that the sphincter tightened up a little bit and the moment got a little too big for him. I wouldn't say the moment got too big, but still, you know, it was a big moment. He kind of crumbled under it. And, you know, after putting together a all-time performance there of, you know, leading almost wire to wire, he loses it there right at the end.
Well, that guy yelling, bomb the driver. He was yelling that to everybody. I don't know if you heard him. He was yelling at JT on 18 when he was playing it in regulation to bomb the driver. He was yelling, bomb the driver at everybody.
That was just his thing.
That was his bit. It was very tiresome. The thing, though, in JT and regulation, that was
hate,
funny.
Hate bit guy.
But, yeah, and I will say that thing, that where those fans were at, that was like a hospitality tent or something. That wasn't just like your normal people could go in that tent, I don't think. That was like a hospitality tent or whatever. But What was funny was when JT was up in regulation playing his 18th hole, he's like, gets over it. As he's about to get over it, the woman in the tent is yelling. You could hear her yell, last call, last call. And he has to step away and redo his pre-shot routine. And he kind of gave like a little wry smile and goes through it. And then, I mean, just a driving clinic on that one he hit on 18. But the thing about like Mito, I know they were saying it, he won three times on Korn Ferry last year. He got the promotion of the PGA Tour. Like he, and when he came up on the tour, he had a handful of top tens. Like he's now a top 50 player in the world. Like he's a really good ball striker. Like he's a great ball striker, a really good player. I've been using him I've known about him since last year when he was rattling off all those Korn Ferry Tour events. And then when he got to the PGA Tour, I was like, great, I'm going to lock him into a bunch of like DFS lineups. He's a cheap guy. So I've known about him and how well that he has been playing. But for, I would say most people, that was their welcome moment to him. And I think he'll be, it's tough, but I'm not going to say he's going to win a major or anything, but he's definitely going to win some PGA Tour events. I think he's too good of a ball striker not to do that. And he hit it terrible yesterday, but he made some incredible up and downs. Like, I don't know how much you watched.
I watched the entire last round.
Okay. So like the one on number 10, when he hits it like long and left and is short sided up the hill, I was like, wow. And then he hits it to like a foot. That one, the long putt he made on 16, like his short game was phenomenal yesterday. Like he was not hitting it well at all, but his short game and his up and downs, it was remarkable.
Yeah, that was kind of the difference in this last round of him being able to kind of, you know, keep his lead for the most part over Zalatoris, was because the up and downs and the putts he was able to hit. And then the putts that Zalatoris, you know, his putting struggles are widely known. That was the difference there, you know, to kind of keep, you know, stiff arming him back, keeping him back was he was able to get up and down and able to sink big time putts when he needed to. And Zalatoris just couldn't find the bottom of the cup numerous times, had a couple two putts where it felt like, you know, if he sinks it in one, he's got the lead, maybe starts running away from it. So even though he wasn't hitting it, you know, particularly well off the tee box, Mito was like you said, was doing a great job in the short game and putting it home when with the putter. So that, you know, to see that all round and pretty much all weekend would, you know, for him to be able to do that and then just, you know, absolutely kind of pee down his leg that last round, that last hole, is kind of what you know, is kind of brutal, even if you're just a fan of golf and not even a Mito fan. Not to be confused with me too, that's something totally different.
Yeah, no, it was definitely hard to watch. But also too, like yesterday during the final round, nobody wanted the win from the final couple groups.
Everybody
crumbled, but like Will out of the last three groups crumbled the least. Like yeah. He did not play well. I mean, he hit it in the bushes, great par off the carpet, but like everybody was crumbling and he just happened to crumble the least to make it in a playoff. Like Cam Young's probably kicking himself this morning that how did he not end up in the playoff? Obviously we talked about Mito and what happened on 18. Fitzpatrick shot 74. He's got to be kicking himself of how he didn't play a little bit better to find his way in a playoff. Like everybody was crumbling in the last three groups. Abe Anser was in there. He crumbled. All these guys that are good players crumbled down the stretch, and just one guy happened to crumble the least to get into the playoff. But like if you were going into the playoff, I think not expecting the JT to win, I think you would be fooling yourself. Like he just had the look. He had that look that he's a little bit of a dick, a little bit of an asshole. You need that. I like JT. But like I personally thought that there was no way that I didn't think he was going to lose. But then he hits his drive in the rough and we're like, okay. But then great wedge shot. They both make birdie. And then that three what he had on 17 that made it on the green, incredible. And obviously I was a little partial. I like Will a lot, but I was partial. I had a nice wager on JT before he played the 17th hole because I thought he was going to birdie it and thought we could get a clubhouse. So anytime you get a little like plus 700, 600 in there, I think I was pleased with that.
So it was funny. We were, like I said, I had that last round on of that of pretty much the entire last group on all day, and or starting at whatever it was, 2 o'clock. And they had showed JT. I think he birdied either 11 and 12, or no, he parred 10. Yeah, then birdied 11 and 12, and so he had to play 13 through 18. I was like, you know, I jokingly was like, I wouldn't be surprised if he birdies the last of these six holes to win it. You know, it was just kind of jokingly. And then surely enough, you know, I think he parred the next one, gets a birdie, and then you kind of see him creeping up a little bit. You see everyone kind of falling down. I'm like, holy shit, this guy's going to actually do it. I didn't put a wager on him. I actually didn't play anything. I just gave out my picks this week. I stayed off of it. But it was kind of funny to see, because like you said, he kind of has that edge to him. You know, a little bit of an FU kind of sense, like, hey, you don't think I'm going to do this? Well, FU, watch, here I go do it. But it was great to see, and a great finish there for a PGA championship.
Yeah, and I'm killing myself because the guy I went to the PGA with, I texted him yesterday around 4 o'clock, and I said the message was we were talking about how everybody's just hitting bad shots left and right. And I was like, I think I might live bet JT. And he was like, what's he at for you? He was in Tennessee. He was like, he's plus 3,300 right now. And I go, for me, he's plus 2,500. And I didn't say anything. And then an hour later, I said, I just took JT at plus 600. So an hour went by and I lost a lot of odds. But brutal. We cannot complain about a win.
Yeah, a win's a win. A push is a win.
And the thing about JT, too, he hasn't won since the Players' Championship last year, which to me was pretty surprising. Like, he was a guy where people were starting to get like, he's only got one major. That was 5 years ago in 2017. Like, when's he going to get another one here and there? And, like, it seemed like he always put too much pressure on himself in the majors because he wanted it so bad, and then he wouldn't perform to what he would. And then they mentioned it a little bit. But he should have been the winner no matter what, because he went out in the harder wave, which was the late Thursday, early Friday, when the wind was blowing way more. It was playing like a shot and a half harder, two shots harder than the early Thursday, late Friday. He was 6 under on that. He was clearly the best player based on wave the first 2 days. So he was playing the best. He was a little worn down on Saturday, but to me, he was the best player the entire tournament, just based on what he did on Thursday and Friday in the harder wave, shooting 67-67 like that. Okay, you separated yourself from that wave. These other guys had easy conditions on Friday afternoon where they could go pick apart the golf course, and you saw that. So he did come back from 7 shots, but to me, he was like the best player in the field all week, just based on what he did on Thursday and Friday, that he is a deserved champion.
Yeah, no, it was, you know, everybody was making the same jokes of, you know, he should be tripping over himself with his big balls that he's walking around with on that last tee box. So it was a great, gritty performance for JT. I talked about the nice weather we had here. It was kind of up and down up there in Tulsa. It was super hot. You saw everyone dying on Thursday and Friday from the heat. Then there was windy and guys were wearing beanies out there and long sleeves this weekend. So, you know, they got a kind of a good taste of everything. I saw that they said on all the entire 18 holes, the wind would be blowing in all four directions at any given time. So that, you know, how brutal that is.
Friday, I can tell you, was extremely hot out there. It was so hot on there on Friday. And then Saturday it was like 58, 59 with like a north wind blowing like 15, gusting up to 20 or 30. So it was a little chilly out there. I wore shorts on Saturday. I was fine, but I could have used another, like a long sleeve shirt under the quarter zip. But yeah, like I saw people. One of my buddies was like, hey, how many people are like passed out drunk and everything? Like all on Twitter is like people just like passed out. And he sent that on Saturday. I was like, I haven't seen anyone today like passed out. I've done like people are drinking beer, but it doesn't seem like a lot of people are drinking beer because of how cold it is. And then you got to hold a 25 ouncer that's cold. I mean, it's going to stay cold, but I don't see that many people pounding ultras today. On Friday, that was a different.
And then $18 a pop, you know, it's going to take you quite a few of those to get
blacked out. It's an expensive, as people were saying, you got to take a loan out to get drunk at the PGA.
Yeah.
But yeah, $18 a pop for that. All right. A couple other things on the grounds there. The Tiger. So Tiger, got to see him, which was exciting. Got to see a good amount of Tiger too. On Friday, it's very interesting about what goes on with the Tiger. Have you ever seen Tiger in person?
I have not.
That's what I was gonna think, because he doesn't play here. He doesn't play in Dallas or Fort Worth. So pretty much everybody goes out and follows the Tiger group. It's very easy to spot where he is. But on Friday, it was good. We saw him on the front nine. Like, you have to plan your shots ahead. You got to plan, okay, we're here. Let's see Tiger. Let's try and see a couple spots here. Plan ahead. But on Friday, a ton of people were following him on the front nine. And he teed off at about 1:30. Since it was so hot, everybody, like, when he made the turn, a ton of people that were following him just left. So then on the back nine, we followed him for like four holes. And I mean, it was like about four or five deep. But for a Tiger crowd, that's like pretty much being on the ropes if it's only like three or four or five deep. It's not bad at all. But his leg, I sent you the one video of him walking up the 12th hole. His leg, it's bad on TV. I mean, I don't mean to be this guy. It might be worse in person.
Really?
His leg looks so bad. That right leg is so bad. Like, it, when they, like, TV doesn't show him walking down all the hills, I think. I mean, he never gives up the club, his driver at least, until he gets to, like, his approach. Like, he's pretty much using his clubs as a cane out there to walk.
Yeah.
Every club out there. And it is. I mean, it's hard to watch. It's hard to watch. Everybody's yelling at him, trying to get their words in. Obviously, everybody's taking the trying to get their videos of Tiger and everything like that. It's quite the scene around him. But it's hard to watch. But I'll tell you what, we talked about how jacked he is. I mean, his arms are massive.
Like, yeah, no, I know that green shirt really made everything pop. Like, the lats were popping, the biceps were popping. Because what was he wearing, that green shirt, Friday or Saturday?
Friday.
Yeah, we're sitting here watching, and Jamie goes, "Damn, he's huge." I was like, "Bro, I know." I said, "That's kind of why his body started breaking down, was his freaking Navy SEAL workouts." But yeah, the green really had everything popping on Friday.
Yeah, no, he was sweating his ass off on Friday. that shirt was so tight. He hit some great shot. I think Tiger, I don't know what next event he's going to play in. I'm going to assume he doesn't play the U.S. Open. I'm going to assume St. Andrews is going to be the next event he plays in. I think Tiger should send us out to be his personal followers. We could be his Tiger tracker, my buddy and I, because we saw him on Friday play six holes. He did not make a bogey on the six holes we saw, and he made two birdies. And then on Sunday, we saw him, or on Saturday, we saw him for four holes, five holes. And we didn't see him make a bogey, which was pretty impressive considering he shot 79 and he was making bogeys all over the place. So maybe we're the good luck charms. I did, as a professional photo bomber, I was prime position for his shot on the 15th hole. In the background in there. So that was good. That's a nice picture to have. And I'm not taking a video of my phone. So credit to me for not doing that. I think
you're the guy where they post a picture and say, "Look at him without his phone, just enjoying the vibes."
Well, yes. Well, trust me, I was taking other videos of Tiger, but I saw where the cameras were at and I was like, "Hey, we're going to be on, this is going to be on like feature group or on TV right here. It's got to be like, look right where we're at. It's looking right at us." And I was like, "I'm not going to take a video. I'm not going to be that guy that takes a video on this one. I'm going to try and be the meme of everybody enjoying, look at this guy enjoying the moment."
Yep.
my buddy next to me took a video. I was like, hey, send that video to me. I want that video since you did the video. But I'm going to be the guy here that is just enjoying the moment. I will say one of the shots I had to see of Tiger, like the only way I could really get a good view of it is if I took a video. So that was like one of the only ways that I could see that. But no, it was a fun time out there. But when you go to like a major, like it's hard for me. Like I like going to golf tournaments. I don't know if I'm going to, how many more, this is going to sound very spoiled, I think. So this was my fourth major. I don't know how many more majors I'm going to want to go to. Because you just, maybe this was just like a Southern Hills thing. And well, Augusta, you don't really know what's going on, but you really have no idea what's going on at other parts of the golf tournament. And if you like want to watch the golf, like see how the tournament's going, you're just clueless out there pretty much what's going on. The cell service, everything was based on the phone. You can't get cell service. It's bad. So I had a good time, but like I like watching it. If I go, I'll probably just say, hey, let's go like Friday. Thursday or Friday, so then you can enjoy the weekend. There's more golf then and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Probably just a one day, one day hit it, you're out, watch the rest at home.
I mean, yeah, only one day. I mean, it is cool to get out there for the vibes. Like, I like Southern Hills. I thought it was a cool course. The hill on up to the grandstand behind number 9 and 18 was no joke. That was no joke of a hill. It was brutal. Getting up there, I'm surprised people weren't slipping or falling down and everything on that. I do have a fun. Do you want to hear a funny gambling story from there?
I mean, of course, that's what we all do here.
So we got out there on Friday at about 10 o'clock. We stayed till about 7. So that's a lot of golf. We also left Dallas at about 5:30 in the morning. Would have left earlier, but my buddy had a little bit of a too late at night out with the sales force, and he's not a sales guy. So little late start, but Friday we're out there. We're behind like number 6 or around 65 green where there's a snack thing, and we're looking at the scores, and I have some service, and I was like, all right, I'm going to take a look at some live bets here. You could bet like player scores and all this stuff. I was like, all right, Patrick Cantlay, he's having a terrible day. Just a terrible day. The 6th hole is like a 240-yard, 30-yard par 3, downwind, pin, kind of middle right. I was like, all right, I'm looking at it. Him to make a bogey to have an over par score is plus 400. I was like, all right, I'll throw a couple beans on this, have a little fun here. We see him tee off, hits it in the bunker. All right, off to a decent start. The bunkers also were like a different type of sand, more like a like more rocky than anything. Players were really complaining about it. So I was like, all right, could be a challenge for him to get up and down. See him hit his bunker shot from like at the tee box on a little hill. And he hits it just out of the bunker. I was like, all right, we are looking pretty good right now. They show how far he is on the little video board that they have at the tournaments. With the little leaderboard, it says he is 25 feet, 11 inches away for par. I was like, all right, this is looking pretty good. A couple other guys putt. He starts putting, and I'm seeing it from, like, the tee box. And you know where this is going, don't you?
Oh, 100%.
And he made the 25-footer, the 26-footer for par. And he shot about 78, I think, on Friday. Bogeys scattered all over the place. Couldn't make a putt to save his life, but somehow made a 26-footer for par on number 6 when I had him a plus 400, and I was like, you got to be kidding me. And I was like, he made that, and then other people we were eating with were like, what'd you do? What is this? Why are you mad? I was like, well, I did this and that, and they're like, you have service enough to bet out here? And I go, yeah. He goes, wow, lucky you. I go, well, I don't think we're going to be betting anymore the rest of the day, I'll tell you that.
I mean, what it just sounds like is you're just the good vibe guys, you know, Tiger, you're calling him around and he starts playing well, you know, you throw a couple bucks on this dude and he sinks a 25 footer. So it sounds to me like you're just a good vibe guy. So
We were good vibes. The thing was also that my buddy did call Tiger on Saturday on the 5th hole. We saw him finish on 4. And then tee off on five. My friend looks at me. He goes, "Tiger's hitting this about 40 yards left. Just watch." And I mean, he called it. He hit it about that ball started left and kept going left. Did you see the a couple people got hit in the dome out there? Did you read hear about this?
Yeah, I saw Sage Steele was one of them. I saw a video of a guy recording and he got smoked in the head while he was shooting a video. I mean, it's just unreal.
And then a player got hit in the head.
Really? I didn't.
Aaron Wise got hit in the head. Jeez. He got hit right in the dome. So I mean, there's a lot of crossover there. But Sage Steele sounded pretty bad.
Yeah, apparently she got hit like in the face, not in the head.
Yeah, and it was like there's blood everywhere. I did not witness John Rahm smoked her right in the head. So I missed that. But look, all in all, it was a fun time at Southern Hills. Good tournament, I would say. A good major. Not a high enough scoring, but a lot of drama at the end, I would say. So all in all, nothing really to complain about for this. And then we march on and we are three more tournaments and then we go into the U.S. Open. So, no Phil out there this week, but still a good time there. Everybody has Phil jokes out there, too, in the crowd, let me tell you.
I'm sure.
Everybody has.
Every golf guy at major thinks he's hilarious.
They do. That's also an off-putting thing, is just having to hear these people just yell and just like people are talking when people are hitting. Like you can whisper while they're hitting or whatever, but like some dudes are just having a full-blown conversation. You're like, "Hey, buddy, you're 10 feet away. Pay a little attention here."
Yeah.
Pay attention here. No, it was a fine time out there. All right, where do you want to go next year? Should we go to the Mavs?
Yeah, I think we have to.
The Mavs, they go down 3-0. And pretty much to me, the series is that they're not making threes.
100%.
That's the whole reason why they're down 3-0. They got off to a good start. They played a good pretty much two quarters on Friday night. Terrible third quarter. Kind of cost them. They're just not making any threes right now.
Yeah, I mean, you can make the argument that they could be down 2-1 or maybe even up 2-1. If the shooting was better, performances they're getting right now from the likes of Reggie Bullock or Bullock. He changed the pronunciation of that. Kleba was bad last night. Brunson hasn't been as good as he was against the Suns. All their role players that they were getting a lot of production from, those guys couldn't throw a beach ball into the ocean right now, the way they're shooting. So it's been brutal. It's been a tough go for them. You know, they look like they were going to win it Friday night, couldn't close it out down the stretch. They're down 3-0. And, if I'll be shocked if it's not a sweep. It looks like maybe a gentleman's sweep at most. You know how usually when teams are up 3-0, they usually let the foot off the gas just a little bit. But I fully see this being closed out. What would that be, tomorrow?
Yes, tomorrow is game four. I mean, if I'm the Warriors have to come out with extra stuff in game four just because the finals don't start till next Thursday. So they get, 9 days off with that? And, I mean, they have to be looking at we're going to get a lot of rest. Even if they close them out Thursday, they get a week off, but then you got a couple travel days because aren't they going to have to go to Miami or Boston? Does the East team, I think, has the better record so far. So I don't think they would have home court.
Who won the All-Star game?
Team LeBron.
Okay, so then the East. Yeah, the East has home court.
But yes, the hold on.
Team LeBron's the West.
We have a tie with Miami.
Oh.
Miami was only 53-29. So if the Celtics win, the Warriors will get home court. They won 53-29. I don't know what the tiebreaker is for home court in the NBA Finals. They both finished with the same record. So I thought since they finished in third, I thought the Heat would have won at least 54, had a better record with them. But that is not the case. But the Mavs, look, they just aren't making threes. I do think it's kind of, it's interesting to me, though, that after game two, Luka was like, we have to try and go inside more. And then after game three, Dinwiddie was like, we have to kind of go inside more. Well, why did you not go inside more in game three? Why did you not drive to the hoop more? It was open. The lanes were kind of open. That's not who they are. That's not their identity. That's not what got them to this point of the season, the Western Conference Finals. They were hoisting 43s. That's fine. Look, if you make 20 of them, 18 of them, that's fine. But when you're only making 11, it's going to be hard to do. Reggie Bullock, I mean, he was god-awful last, obviously, to make a bucket. But he was terrible. They're just not making anything. And the Warriors are really good, too. Like,
breaking news.
Like, these people that are saying the Warriors aren't as good as we think they are. Okay, they're probably not as good as they're not as good as the Durant Warriors, the 17-18 Warriors. They're probably not as good as the Warriors that lost in 16 when they won 73 games. But I mean, they're still really damn good. Andrew, they're just different now. They have Andrew Wiggins. Clay or Steph is still good. Clay will come out and do stuff. They got Jordan Poole in there. Like, this is still like a really, really good basketball team. Like, let's ease off on the Warriors aren't as good as we are. Yeah, they're not as good as they were like 6 years ago. But come on, like, I can't believe I'm defending the Warriors as a noted Warriors hater, one of the first out there. Let's ease up here, guys. Jeez.
So we're gonna have to have a conversation. There is a take that I've had on this show for quite some time now, and I'm not getting off of it completely, but I might walk it back just a little bit. And it's a couple players you mentioned. They're definitely not as good as they were when they had Durant playing that small forward position. Andrew Wiggins, you know who Andrew Wiggins is, right?
No, who is he? Only a number one overall pick?
Correct. He is Harrison Barnes. And like I said,
he's better than Harrison Barnes.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's my point. But he was a number one overall pick, so he should be better than Harrison Barnes. So he fits into that Harrison Barnes slot. That's what we'll call it, the HB slot, and picks up that slack or plays in that role very, very well. When they had a couple down years or, a couple down seasons after Durant left, obviously the Steph and Clay health was a big factor, but I feel like they didn't have that three spot really solidified with the long wing that could shoot, that could stretch it, could also fill up the lane a little bit. And Andrew Wiggins is that guy. Obviously we saw the absolute baptism that he put on Luka last night, and just almost akin to the not quite, because there wasn't as much contact, but the DeAndre Jordan Brandon Knight dunk. But Andrew Wiggins fills that role very, very well. Like he said, he is a number one overall pick. I don't know that he, looking at the number one overall picks between then and now, if he really lines up as a true number one guy, but he fits perfectly in that system. So maybe Harrison Barnes, his numbers and his performance was inflated just a little bit. Still think he could be a good number three on any roster, but Andrew Wiggins definitely filled that spot just as well.
Well, you need to, I think you kind of just did what I'm going to say, but you need to repurpose to take on Harrison Barnes. It doesn't matter who the three on the Warriors is with Draymond, Steph, and Clay. If you're average, you're going to be elevated with them. Like Jordan, like that's what Andrew Wiggins is. He's been elevated with the Warriors.
Because he's not the guy. I think that's what's really helped him, is he doesn't have to be the guy.
Well, yeah, no, that's the thing. Harrison Barnes never had to be the guy with the Warriors. They just needed they just needed him to have a pulse in 2016, and he didn't.
Yeah,
he was terrible. So it's me, and like Jordan Poole, he would not have a great scoring game last night. But like, people are like, man, how did every team miss on Jordan Poole? Saying, guess what? If Jordan Poole's on probably any other team in the league, he's not probably putting up these numbers.
Correct.
He's freed up by Steph and Clay, and they let him do this. They let him be the main, sometimes the main source of offense when Steph is out or Clay is out. Like he's not that type of player. Like
I'm gonna say something, and it's gonna sound a certain way. That's not how I mean it. I could probably get 10 points if I'm in that Warriors offense, and they let me go for like 30, 45 minutes. You know what I mean? Like. Yeah. I'm not saying that Steph, Clay, or any of these guys are system guys, But that system caters to them and their shooting. If I'm hitting some shots, I'm getting at least 10 points, guaranteed.
The system caters to the role players and elevates the role players.
Yes.
And that's what's been happening so far in the series. And I do love the revisionist history for, like, I thought the Mavs would give the Warriors a better fight. I said last week, I thought they did. Like, the Warriors are still really good, but they have their flaws. I thought the Mavs defensively would be able to help to shut them down a little bit. I thought they'd be able to take a game. I didn't think it'd be 3-0 right now. I thought you usually have one game where you shoot lights out from three. It just happened that they did that for the first quarter and a half in game two. I thought the series would be a little bit more competitive. I love now that all the Dallas people, after the Mavs lose game three last night, they're down 3-0. We're into the, well, we were never going to beat the Warriors. We were never going to beat the Warriors. Well, I was listening to everybody talk about how we're going to beat the Warriors a week ago after they just knocked off the Sun, that this team is great. This team is great. The Mavs team, as we've been talking about this whole time, is insanely flawed. And if they don't make some moves, they're going to run into a situation of Luka's got no help again. Like, you cannot look as this team going forward. It's like, we got to run this squad back next year. We're running it back with these boys. You cannot do that at all. And I wonder, I think a sweep helps that more than, say, they go to seven games or a six-game series against the Warriors, because then you're like, wow, look how close we were. We just, one shot goes in here, one break there, and we can run it back and do it again. No. So this might be better that they're getting swept, because they're a deeply flawed team. And one thing on the Luka dunk, the sniper got him right at the perfect time, too. Just sniped him right as Wiggins put his elbow, like, on his head. You saw the sniper from the rafter just, boom, take Luka out right there.
Yeah, it was. I mean, like I said, that was just an unreal dunk. The height that he got, the force in which he hammered it home, I mean, everything. It was an all-timer.
Yes, and it was all-time floppage, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Did you see the video that Worldwide Wob put out of Cuban and Luka after it was reversed, the offensive foul call was reversed?
Uh-uh.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. You got to go look at it, check it out, because they're both just like palms looking at the sky, like shoulder, like, how did that get reversed? How is that not an offensive foul? Like, oh my God, I can't believe it. It's quite funny.
Yeah. I'm looking it up right now. Let's see. I got it here. That's hilarious.
I'm also so far out on Cuban.
This is where he makes his money.
No, it does, but he's just, dude, get off the bench. I said this before, right? Get off the bench.
Yeah.
Get off the bench. Go sit in your seats, okay? You don't see any other owner sitting on the bench or standing with the boys on the bench. I know that's why people like it, but you know what? Just sit in your seat and chill out, okay? Yeah. Look at me, Louie, over there. We get it. You own the team. You're Mark Cuban, blah, blah, blah. Just... we don't need you standing up with the boys on the bench.
Yeah.
Anything else from this game, from this series so far?
No, like I said, I think it's definitely gonna. I think it's a wrap tomorrow. If not, it'll be a wrap on Thursday.
I would agree with that. I also, Charles Barkley rolling on a horse at Victory Plaza was quite funny yesterday. He really does hate the Warriors.
I think he hates the Warriors fans.
Does he hate the fans?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, I mean, they've all been fans since, like, 2015.
I mean, their fans really are bad, too.
Oh, like, that's the other – that's the one thing. So, we were texting on Friday night. We went to go watch the game with a couple friends of ours. And, you know, the place that we're at is packed, and everyone's living and dying with every shot. And I'm talking to my buddy, and he's throwing in some commentary. He's not a huge sports guy, but he, you know, he follows it enough so he can have a conversation about it and not sound like a total dummy. He follows the Cowboys, you know, he's a Cowboys fan, whatever. He's a sports fan, but not like you or I. Right. So we're having a conversation, whatever, talking. And I look at Jamie and I'm like, how many of these people do you think started watching basketball like 2 weeks ago? And she started laughing. And I was like, they're living and dying with all these shots. They're making all these calls of, oh, that's not an offensive foul. Or, da, da, da. You know, the guy that all of a sudden becomes, we've talked about when you're watching a boxing match and all of a sudden everyone becomes a rules expert. Or
that's what was just going through my mind when you're saying that.
They become a trainer out of nowhere. It's like, buddy, this is the first match you've watched in 10 years. And now all of a sudden, you know, all the technicalities of boxing. So that's what it was. That was very much what it was akin to. And, you know, we watch basketball very rare or very regularly around here. We have a good idea of what's going on. And my buddy leans over, he goes, I got to be honest, this is like the fifth game I've watched all year. And I started dying laughing. I was like, you know what? That's fine. I can respect that. You actually are admitting to it. Well, all these other people around here are all of a sudden, they're Richard Jefferson giving their in-game analysis left and right. And it just cracked me up because I'm like, these people very much clearly are jumping on the bandwagon because the Mavs are in the Western Conference Finals, which is fine. I get it. And maybe it's the hardo in me of living and dying, you know, not living and dying, but you know, maybe it's because I just had my heart ripped out by the Mavs. That might be have something to do with it too. But it was just, it was very, very funny to see everybody that all of a sudden became a rules expert and knew exactly the ins and outs. Or who's the referee they always go to?
Steve Javy.
Yeah. All of a sudden I was surrounded by 200 Steve Javies making calls left and right.
But that's every city, every time a team makes a deep run in the playoff. It's just not suitable to Dallas.
Maybe.
Look at the Suns fans last year during the playoffs. I'm not
took the words out of my mouth. Phoenix and Dallas, granted, they're the two cities that I've lived in, but they are the most bandwagon cities that I can think of. You know what I mean? Like, they won't care. Like, if the Rangers all of a sudden go get on a heater and it's like the divisional round, that place will be sold out. Yes. Everyone's going to know every in and out of their lineup top to bottom, or act like they've been watching this pitching staff, you know, from spring training on. Trust me, I know. Like I said, Phoenix is very much the exact same way. And maybe it's just because those are the two towns I've lived in, the two cities I've lived in, but they are very, very similar to each other in their fandom.
No, I think you have the casual sports fans everywhere. Like in Cleveland, there's the casual sports fans. And obviously, there's more hardcore people out there than maybe most places. I don't want to say that, but there are the casuals that show up. There's casuals in every city. So I'm not ready to throw stones at the cat. I'm a casual Stars guy. I get on board when they got to look at the playoffs. I'll throw my hand up there. That's just how it is in every town. Now, as you said, other towns, I think we're looking at more of them, but that's what it is.
Maybe it's just the bigger metropolitan areas. You know what I mean? Like Dallas, like a Phoenix, where it's not, it's not the forefront, and the smaller towns are a little bit more.
I mean, I think it's hard to tell. Like, what do you think, New York? I mean, there's a lot of hardcores there.
True.
There's probably I don't know. I think it's hard to decipher that, but no, I do agree with the Dallas, with that. I do love the everybody thinks the boxing match.
Yeah.
All right, should we go to the Premier League? Did you see any of this yesterday?
I saw Man City 1. I saw a great goal by Mario Balotelli.
That was a sick goal.
Was about it. Oh, and then I saw, who is the fella? Oh, God. I think he's Egyptian.
Mo Salah?
Yeah, Mo Salah. Is he Egyptian?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw he did something that was kind of funny, but I'm not sure what it was.
He scored.
Yeah. And then people thought that he was like overdoing his celebration, thought he had like, I don't know. Yeah.
Okay.
That was my talking soccer right there.
All right, I'm going to pause, do a report, and then come back to that.
Okay.
All right. So yesterday, final day of the Premier League season, there was a lot to be decided. The title between City, Man City, and Liverpool still up in the air. Top four theoretically was still up in the air, but no way Tottenham was losing to Norwich. And then relegation was still up in the air. So lots to play for yesterday. We'll start. So for the title, Liverpool's won one title since the Premier League's been started. That was like 1990, I think. And the year they won it was the COVID year. So people, and they didn't win any fans. So people are always given Liverpool garbage for that. Also, Liverpool this year could win the quadruple, which is the Champions League. They're in the final on Saturday. The Premier League, the FA Cup, and the Carabao Cup. So all four competitions they enter, they could have won all four trophies. That's never happened before. In English soccer, one team did the treble. That was Man United. So yesterday, Liverpool to win the title needed Man City to lose to Aston Villa, who's managed by Liverpool legend Stevie Gerrard. And then they needed to beat Wolves at home. Wolves scores in like the third minute. Liverpool's down 1-0. They tie it up pretty quickly after that. And then they're tied going into halftime. Going into halftime, Aston Villa scores against City. So now they are tied at the half, but City still wins because the first decider is goal difference. Then at about the 50th minute, 45th, 47th, 50th minute, Aston Villa scores again. So they're up 2-0. Liverpool at this time needs to score one goal. They just need to win the game against Wolves at home, which they should do fairly easily. But right now, so they have everything in their hands. I went to the Londoner. I usually go every day for the final season and then a couple days throughout. There was a line out. They were not letting people in at 10 a.m. It was so packed. It was shy. Every club was there. Man City was on one side. Liverpool fans were on the other. Ton of Arsenal people. Everybody else was there. So it was a cool atmosphere there. Then Man City. This is the 10-year anniversary of the Sergio Aguero goal when they scored like the 93rd minute to win their first title. Man City goes on. They score three goals in a five-minute stretch in like the 70th minute to then take the 3-2 lead, hold on, and they end up winning the title. It was so dramatic. City looked dead in the water, and they rattle off three goals in 5 minutes. Quite stunning, quite shocking. City always does it the hard way. They did it the hard way yesterday. Quite impressive. So they win the league. Liverpool ends up to win 3-1. Their fans were pissed. It was quite funny for me. We were sitting on the patio. I went in and saw the Liverpool fans after the final whistle. They were so dejected they didn't win the league. One of the Arsenal fans or some other fan was like, "You guys have won two trophies this year and you're in the Champions League final on Sunday. So you can stop crying right now for not winning the league." And let me tell you, they were not having that. It was getting a little rowdy in there when other fans started yelling at them to cheer up that they didn't win the Premier League when they're in their response was, "You're in the Champions League final on Sunday." They were not having that. It was quite funny. I quite enjoyed that. Then relegation, Leeds led is managed by an American who people are calling him Ted Lasso, blah, 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 this and that, whatever. They scored in the 94th minute to be safe, but they would have been safe even if they didn't score because the other team lost and they just needed a draw. They need a draw or a win if Burnley lost and they did. So first time there's this good stuff for American soccer with him keeping them up. Keeps our reputation intact in England. So that's good. But it was a very dramatic day of Premier League football yesterday.
So that's what it was. So Mo Salah scored that goal and people were laughing at him saying he thought he had his Aguero moment, and then Man City, I guess, came in and snatched that away from him.
Yes, but also he was in the running for top goal scorer on the season, and he knew that one, the player he was with, Son from Tottenham, had scored earlier in the day. So he was one goal behind. So if they would have tied, they would have shared golden boot. So he also thought that then he got tied for top goal scorer of the year, but then Son nicked one with like 5 minutes to go. So that's also, I think, why he was celebrating too. Brilliant. So it could have been top goal scorer, and then that he had his Aguero moment.
The solid they are, the solid they fall.
Yes. So quite good stuff from the Premier League, and we take a little off break. The players, I would say, deserve a break, and we are off. We start up in August again. We should be having a World Cup this summer, but there's not because FIFA, quite the corrupt company, quite the corrupt organization. We move that to November, but good stuff yesterday in the Premier League. Anything else we would like to touch on here?
I mean, one last thing. There ain't no stopping.
Max.
Yep. That's it. That's all we'll leave. We'll just leave it at that. Ain't no stopping.
Did you catch any of this or not?
I did not. I did see that Leclerc had some engine failure there at the end. He looked like he was going to win it. But again, you can only hope to slow Max down. You can't stop him. I did see that. But it's funny. I liken being a Max Verstappen fan to being a Yankee fan. We're just like everyone hates him and loves everybody else, all the younger guys, or you know, a big Ferrari contingency amongst my friends that follow F1. So everybody kind of hates Max Verstappen, and I feel like I said, almost liken it to being a Yankee fan, except Verstappen actually wins, where he's just the most hated, and everyone else is, you know, just doesn't like him.
F1's quite toxic.
It is.
On
it
the
is
internet.
It's funny.
Like, the Lewis people hate Max. The Max people hate Lewis.
Yep.
They're going at it, this and that. It is quite a toxic place.
Yeah.
Let me say, I don't know where else is more toxic than F1 Twitter. It is.
I mean, soccer Twitter's got to be right.
More toxic?
Yeah.
But you're just destined to hate everybody that's not your team in soccer. I don't think that's really a surprise, is it?
Yeah, probably not.
I guess I'm just surprised that it's just F1 Twitter is as toxic as it is.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us. We will be back next week taking a look probably at the NBA Finals.
Yep. And probably not the Dallas Mavericks.
And the Dallas Mavericks will not be participating. So that's it for the show today. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And we'll talk to you then.